And we are blessed this morning. I don't think there's any other announcements. If there is, somebody speak up real quick. All right. So, let's all welcome Jane Park.
How about one more shout for Jesus? I thought we were two more. Stand up and shout for Jesus. Shout it out. Shout it out. There is joy in the house of the Lord today. Wow. Wow. Thank you, worship team. Oh, we could have just stayed in there in agreement. Great in power. Great in wonder. Great in glory. In heaven and in earth and in Zion. So glory to God. Well, let's praise his name. So it's my honor to stand before you today to bring the word of God. Are you signaling at me? Tribe of Zion. Okay. We release. Tribe of Zion. We bless their children, their leadership, and every child. We speak an increase of anointing. Every gifting that they have within them is be released, activated, and grow as they be rooted and grounded in love and rooted and grounded in the living word of God under the banner of his love and in the name of Jesus. Tribe of Zion, we are so blessed. God is raising up this generation. They are not just being raised up. They are part of us now. Glory to God in Zion. How about that? So this morning I have the blessed privilege and honor to bring the word of God to you. And I don't esteem this lightly because my heart's cry has to bring the word of God to you. So I'm going to ask that if you have your Bibles, that you'd track with me. Go to the scriptures that we'll lay out. If you have it on a device, a tablet, go there. And some of the scriptures will be put up so we can really get into the word of God. And what I'm going to share from the word of God will stem from something the Lord showed me a week ago. So Holy Spirit, you have all authority here. And we plead that precious blood of Jesus, that very blood that speaks on the mercy seat now, that very blood that we celebrated today as we shared in communion as one. We decree and release the blood of Jesus over every airwave, over every ear, over every person anointed to hear, to be awakened further, to further revelation and understanding in the knowledge of you. We say, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. And to him and him alone in the name of Jesus do our knees bow. We secure it and seal it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was traveling a week ago and I went to a co-op gas station in Saskatchewan to fill up my tank. Just a beautiful drive. I love those road trips where it's just you and the Lord and you get to do lots of talking and singing and shouting or however, or sit quietly with him. It's just always a delight to go with the Lord and have him be my travel partner. But as I pulled up to these gas pumps, I heard him say, now the Lord speaks to me. It's just my wiring, my gifting. You all have your own, and it looks different in everyone. But he'll speak to me in images and pictures, or I'll hear him say something in my spirit man. At those gas pumps, I heard him say, look at the scars. Look at the scars. And I had this image, this picture. It wasn't just a flat screen picture. It was like a moving picture. And it was of the image of Jesus in a white robe. I only saw him from the shoulders down to about the knees. I did not see his feet. I did not see above the neck. But I also saw his two arms extended. And with his palms faced up. I saw the scars in his hands. And embedded in the scars in his hands on the right hand was embedded the blue Star of David. And on the left hand, embedded in the scars, was the red Canadian maple leaf. So what's that mean? What's God saying? And I'm still unpacking it. It's probably more revelation that he'll show me. But from that, it brought me to his word. So I want to bring his word, the word of God as written, holy before you. His word, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, we just finished this 22 days of fasting as we entered the year 2022. And since we've completed that fast, we've really seen a lot of shakings. Canada is shaking right now. And the globe is watching. And so is God. And whatever my personal feelings or your personal feelings may be about how things look regarding freedom convoys, like Wendell said it, our true freedom is in Christ alone. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. But we can't ignore the prophetic nature of the sound. We can't ignore the prophetic nature of the sound that is coming from this movement. And we must stay in agreement, in unity, love, keeping the unity of our faith in God. In God we trust. You see, God is for righteousness in a nation. And he alone is the righteous, right judge. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So this kingdom showdown clash that we're seeing go on, this is a battle that belongs to the Lord. He is shaking. He's shaking for the sake of his kingdom. Yeah, there's turbulence and shakings, but we're to fear not. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only thing that will remain is the unshakable things of the kingdom of God. So there's things in my heart that are being shaken. Probably yours too. There's things in the earth and in the heavens that are shaking. There's structures of man that are being shaken for the full revelation of the kingdoms of God and his unshakable kingdom. His kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I say, we're shaken, but I'm in Christ. I'm found in him and I have nothing to fear. And we make this our battle cry prayer for his purposes, and we pray this according to Psalm 72:8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Why don't you stand up? You know, those very words are inscribed in stone on the Peace Tower of our parliament buildings in Ottawa. So let's decree and declare Psalm 72:8. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Yeah! 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 Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. An unshakable kingdom that will be established fully. Yeah. He's only not going to do a little bit or part of it. He starts it, he finishes it. Look at Revelations right through to end of Revelations from the beginning of Genesis and everything in between. Plan A is well underway. Wow. So what shall we say to these things? According to Romans chapter 8, 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? If God is for us, who could be against us? Mm-mm. You see, God stands in the midst of us. In the midst of me, in the midst of you, but in the midst of us, in the body of Christ, the ecclesia that's rising up, that's wakened up. That is taking her place according to Ephesians chapter 3. I won't go there. That's so full. I could just goosebumps on that one. But that is who we are intended to be. God stands in the midst of us. And the scriptures speak over and over that God is on our side. How many times has God vindicated you? He has vindicated me over and over and over as he's coming on my side. Because I'm his child in Christ. Scriptures over and over endorse that and assure us of that. But the scripture also says that God has his own side. God has his very own side. And God sides against evil. He's altogether righteous. And judgment is his alone. God has his own side. Let's look in scripture. Exodus 32, 26. When Moses stood at the gate of the camp and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. There's an opportunity and an offer for us to move out of our own mindsets, our own limited understanding. To go to God's side, the Lord's side. And we saw all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto Moses. And it was already sung about this morning, or somebody mentioned it, you know, the Jericho thing from Joshua chapter 5, 13 and 14. There Joshua was at Jericho, and he lifted his eyes, and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Are you for or against? And so he, the one that approached him, he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. See, it was a no. I'm for neither one. I've come on behalf of the Lord. The Lord's side. God's side. Yes, God is at work in the midst of us. You know, there was a lot of turbulence in the book of Acts. Insurrections, crazy things going on in the streets. The Acts of the Apostles, the demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching Jesus, people getting saved, signs, wonders, and miracles, and a lot of opposition. Acts 3:39. This is the admonishment that came from those who were opposing. Now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it lest you be found to fight against God. That's a yikes. That's a word, hey? So we trust in God. God has his own side. So what's the question here? The question is, who is on the Lord's side? Through Jesus, the captain of the host, and his sons of daughters, purchased and bought by Jesus Christ, we belong to him. I, we, you, us, we are on the Lord's side. Ha ha. I hear an agreement. We are on the Lord's side. You know, during the Civil War, when questioned if he felt God was on his side, Abraham Lincoln made this profound response. Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. Safest place to be on the God side. God is always right. You know, Canada is called to be and to bring healing to the nations. It's a prophetic word for Canada as inspired by Revelations 22, verse 2. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You see, Canada is a nation on its knees. Have you seen more prayer ever? Canada is a nation on its knees looking to God as the answer in spite of us, in spite of our opinions. And we've come in repentance and we've come in agreement with the prophetic words that we're still decreeing and declaring are in process and being fulfilled for revival and reformation and transformation and restoration, even a restoration of the holy fear of God and the foundational truths of the Word of God. You see, Jesus paid for us, and he paid for all people of every nation. And he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. You know, our national anthem is really a prayer. Oh God, keep our land as Canada travails to move into God's predestined destiny. Oh God, home of the true north, strong and free. Oh God, we stand on guard, oh Canada, for thee. But an unknown verse that maybe some of you are familiar with, I just came aware of it, you know, in the last couple of years, is verse 4 of our national anthem. And it's a literal prayer. Ruler supreme, who hearest humble prayer, hold our dominion within thy loving care. Help us to find, O God, in thee a last rich reward, as waiting for the better day, we ever stand on guard. So we're standing on guard in our knees, and in our worship, and in our prayers, and our decrees, and our declarations. We are humbling ourselves. And as we humble ourselves, God's order comes into alignment. And out of that alignment rises up our authority. The nation of Canada, etched in the scars, that maple leaf etched in the scars. Look at the scars on the hands of Jesus. His right hand etched in the scars, the blue Star of David. It's on your right, just as on your left, my right, was the Canadian flag. In the scripture, in the Bible, in God's word, what nation is foremost and of which God speaks the most of? You got it. Israel. And God's intent for Israel has not changed. And he loves every nation and every person of every nation. Because that great throne room scene, we touched into it. every tongue and tribe and nation and people will hail him as King of kings and Lord of lords, shouting, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," giving him honor and glory and praise and power and dominion and authority. King of kings, worthy, holy. That's every tongue, every tribe, every nation. But God has chosen the nation of Israel to help us all get there. You know, when I pondered that image, that vision, whatever label, I noticed, you know, that the right hand of God was the one where Israel was embedded in the scars. And so I looked up what right hand of God symbolizes, what it means. There's a lot of scripture about the right hand of God. I won't read them all. But the right hand is seen as a place of honor and status throughout the biblical text. When the Bible makes statements that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, it is affirming that Jesus Christ has equal status to the Father within the Godhead. This image, Psalm 110:1, the Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." You see, God has help for Israel. You look at Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 to 10. Powerful scriptures, common scriptures. I've used them for myself. You've probably used these ones for yourself, and that's okay. But in the context of the scriptures, Isaiah 41, the bold title in the Bible says, God's help for Israel. But as for you, Israel, my servant, the nation he chose to help us all get there. But as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, "You are my servant, for I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you, Israel. Don't be discouraged, Israel, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." God's word. It's God's word. And we're grafted into this because we're grafted into the root of Jesse. It's Jewish person and Gentile, but it's in and through Jesus Christ. Oh. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, Israel. And when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. And when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Israel, also known as rebellious, giving in to Baal worship, and sacrificing children, idolatry. And because of their choices, their stiff-neckedness, God had to send them away in exile. With the many promises that he will bring them back to his covenant that he cut with Abraham. He will bring them back. He will forgive them. He will open their eyes to see their Savior, their Messiah. He will restore them to their full intent with which God fully intended when he chose Israel. Isaiah 43, 21. God speaking from the scriptures. I have made Israel for myself, and they, Israel, will someday honor me before the whole world. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Pretty powerful. God forgives their sins, will remove their sin, and restore the nation and people of Israel to their chosen calling and identity to make known God in the earth. Israel. That blue Star of David embedded in the right hand, in the palms of his hand. My good brother John pointed out the other night on our Israel prayer call, Tuesdays, check in if you can, that Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16 says this. Again, God will not forget Zion. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hand, and your walls are continually before me. God's heart towards Israel is such of that as of a mother who's given birth or is carrying a baby, and then gives birth and holds that child close and nurses that child, nurtures and feeds and loves and cares for. You know, it's an expression of God's nature and his heart towards Zion. It's a compassionate God. I will never forget you, Zion, says the Lord. And Zion is a synonym for Jerusalem, as well as for the land of Israel as a whole. God embraces Zion, Jerusalem, the people and the land of Israel. And he says, your walls are continually before me. God will not forget Zion because of covenant. You look back into the covenant that God made with Abraham. The covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, the household of Israel. It was a blood covenant with the sign and symbol cut into the flesh of the males. Circumcision. Circumcision involves cutting, bleeding, wounding, even creates scars. But it's symbolic of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's symbolic and pointing to the new covenant in Jesus Christ through Yeshua, the Messiah, Savior. Our Savior was born of the Jews. He was of the tribe of Judah. He was from the nation and people of Israel. So if God will not forget Zion, neither should we. There's lots of prayer going on for Canada, and I'm all in. That's my assignment right now. Has been for a while. But he's reminding us in this hour, the right hand, the one who's engraved and inscribed in the very palms of his hand. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 7.
Oh, this passage is a punchline for me. God says we should never forget, and we should be praying, watching with him, and giving him no rest. He doesn't sleep day or night. I need to. But there's a place. I have a part. And this is what God says about Zion. Look in your scriptures. Read it along. I hope it's up there. I'm not sure. Isaiah 62, 1 and 7. Because I love Zion, I will not keep silent. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see. A splendid crown in the hand of the Lord. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, O Jerusalem. I have posted watchmen on your walls, and they will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride in all the earth. That's not to take away from the prayers and intercession of your assignments, but God just brought that to my attention. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Israel, let's not forget. Look at the scars. These scars are healed up wounds in the hands of Jesus, where two heavy spikes were driven through to fasten his body to hang on a cross so that his blood could run down and pay the redemptive price, paying in death for me in his own blood. Blood gushed out of his own Jewish people for his own people. And for every person of every other nation, race, ethnicity, these scars symbolize healed. They're no longer bleeding. These scars are markers that he is no longer dead, but alive today, ascended and seated, enthroned at the right hand of God as king, postured and waiting soon to return. Return to where? Where is he returning to? Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the eternal and undivided capital city. Jerusalem, where he will reign in the millennial as King of Kings. Jerusalem, the center of worship in all the earth. Jerusalem, the seat of government in all the earth. And then we move further into the book of Revelations. This is past the millennial reign. My little brain can't fit the time frames and scopes. But what we're seeing now is pretty good posturing and prophetically, scripturally, what's been spoken, that we are in a time and season for the return of Jesus Christ to be seated in Jerusalem. His feet are going to plant down.
It's going to be some real shakings and earthquakes. I think things are shaken now. There's more ahead. But unto the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we look into Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Then, now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelations 21, you go further down, 9 to 11. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, clear as glass. And the 12 gates were the 12 pearls, each one an individual gate of pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. You know, you hear references to the pearly gates and to the streets of gold. Well, it's straight out of the Word of God. It's a reality. And it's a modeling of the adorned bride of Christ. And we are in process of being made as a bride without spot or wrinkle, the preparing for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, I looked into a lot of the commentaries, like, how can Jerusalem be the wife of the Lamb? Well, there's lots of great scriptures to substantiate what that is, but it really is a picture of the adorned bride of Christ, Jew and Gentile, every tongue and tribe and nation, everyone that's come in by way of the cross, who's received the redemptive work and the cleansing power of the blood that spilled out that killed Jesus in my place and yours. Yes, in the middle of that city, there's a river flowing from God's very throne. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That's the inspirational scripture for the prophetic destiny of Canada. Canada is called to be and to bring healing to the nations. But where do you find yourself today? Where do I find myself today in all of this? The bride, the body of Christ. I so appreciated how Wendell brought at the communion table that we are as one in Christ. One body, as one in him. You see that image I had? Jesus had one body, and we were found in him. I was found in him, in his heart, and in that body. And so, we are one in him. We are found in the Lord, in Christ, his body, his bride. He's loved us so deeply and so eternally. You know, God's heart was breaking over the state of humanity. And he provided the only solution that would ransom us and pay for us. That ransom of the shed blood of Jesus, who paid that death penalty that I deserved. I came to a scripture this week that I hadn't heard for a while. Hey, you know, Romans, the wages of sin is death. I was a slave to sin. Lost. Didn't know this Jesus. But that same scripture that says, through Jesus Christ, I am set free. Receiving that cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, where he became my atonement and gave his life for me. He didn't deserve it. Because he was sinless. He was the Son of God. But he took upon himself on the cross, in those scars, the shedding of his blood, the wages of my sin, he took my death and yours. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life, new life, brand new life, cleansed life, a life in process, being made ready as a bride without spot or wrinkle. Ha. Wow. So if you don't know this Jesus, just look at the scars, because he already paid that price for you. He already let that bleeding blood fall out of his hands and his feet and the crown thorns. But he is alive and he ever lives. He's ever living to make intercession for us. He ever lives to make intercession for the household and people of Israel. He ever lives to make intercession for the nation of Canada and the other nations. He's calling us one by one. And if you need this Jesus, I shouldn't say if you don't already have Jesus, you need this Jesus Christ. You need to receive what he did. Look at the scars. All you have to do is say, yes. Yes, I receive. I receive that atonement. I receive that cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. I receive the finished, complete work of God. I receive the redemption. I receive the ransom. I receive the gift of eternal life. I receive this brand new life and all the benefits it brings me. I receive you, Jesus, and everything you have done, completed, when you said it is finished. Look at the scars. Look at the scars. Great in power. Great in glory. Great in Zion. Great in battle, great in wonder. How great is our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be blessed this week and prepare for more shakings. But Jesus is on the throne and he will have his way. If you let him, he'll have your way in your life, and he will have his way in our nation. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And, our home and native land, true patriot love, in all our sons command, with glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north strong and free, from stand on God for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. Oh, Canada, we stand on God for thee. Oh, Canada, we stand on God for thee. You're dismissed.